Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers advisor in DCU. This week we are joined by two representatives from Novartis, one of which is Mairead Lines, who is a manager with Novartis Global Services Centre, and Bévin Iconica, who is currently on their graduate programme for the project management of clinical trials. So just a little bit of a disclosure first. We first recorded this episode in February, and unfortunately there was an issue with the sound quality. So Mairead and Bévin very, very kindly have agreed to do another recording of this episode. And it's really what we're going to look at is this whole career of project management in clinical trials. So you're both really, really welcome. So I might start off with yourself, Mairead. Maybe you could explain, first of all, what is clinical trials and what is the project management role within that?
Sure. Thanks, Siobhan. So clinical trials are human trials, and the aim is that they would evaluate if the drug is safe for patients to take for their medical condition. Generally, the trials can last anywhere between 8 to 12 years from test tube to getting on the market. And they go through various phases in order to evaluate their safety and efficacy, and making sure that they are suitable for the patients to take for their condition. So that's essentially the clinical trials in a nutshell.
Oh, no, that's brilliant. Because, you know, we do hear a lot about clinical trials, and it's always a kind of bit of a grey area, especially if you don't work in the pharmaceutical sector. So just very, very interesting just to kind of get a bit of an insight, and also to realise how long some of the trials are. Would there be trials that would be shorter than that?
No, well, sometimes a drug can be fast-tracked. So if, for example, the regulatory authorities deem it necessary for a drug that is really needed and they've proven that it's safe and efficacious, then they can fast-track that drug to sort of shorten the approval process. But generally, it can take about 10 to 12 years because it has to go through all various testing from first time into human, first time into patients, and then bigger numbers of populations in phase three. And even after it's marketed, it still has to go through further clinical trials to make sure that they're still evaluating all the data, safety data and efficacy data.
So what is the project management role then to bring those trials from start to end there?
The project manager plays a very important role in clinical trials. They oversee the whole process from writing the protocol. So every study will have its individual protocol to the right to this clinical study report, which is the output at the end of a clinical trial. And the project manager is involved at every step of the way. So they manage the teams who will be inputting into this clinical trial, from vendors to internal teams like data management, medical writers, statisticians, as well as coordinating the clinical trial team involving the medics and director of operations, etc. So everybody who's involved in running the trial, the project manager is the point of contact and will oversee to make sure the study is kept on track and, of course, kept to budget, which is very important.
And what kind of a person, you know, or what sort of skill set is useful for a person that's considering a career in this area?
Well, multitasker. Yeah. Definitely a good one. Good multitasker and good at time management and adaptability, flexibility are all key, very, very key, important characteristics that you would need to be able to deal with many things that are going on at one time, and making sure that you can maintain the success of a study whilst dealing with all the things that you'll come across, because you'll never have a clinical trial that goes according to plan, because it's real life and you have patients that and doctors that have other priorities. So it's really important that the person is able to deal with all aspects of managing issues and challenges throughout the process of clinical trials.
And from the point of view that, you know, you talked about the length of clinical trials, and it does take a period of time, and then there's obviously if there's ones that need to be accelerated, how do you manage that dynamic, you know, of fast, slow, in between, you know, the patience, the speed, you know, what's the dynamic there?
Well, I guess that's the thing, is that if generally every study would have its own timeline and its own budget, and that's the project manager's job, is to make sure it keeps to that, the timeline and within budget. But things can happen to slow things down. For example, current situation with COVID-19, every single clinical trial that's ongoing at the moment has had to adapt in order to deal with COVID-19. So a project manager's job is then to make sure that you're keeping the patient safe, and that however we manage the study, the patient safety is the priority. And we have to make sure that we put certain contingency plans in place to make sure that the doctors and nurses are supported, to make sure the patients are safe, etc.
Brilliant, because a lot of the, you know, some of these trials are being done in conjunction with hospitals, isn't that
exactly
right?
And most of them,
live clinics, you know, that people sign up to participate in a clinical trial.
Exactly. So they're doing this, a lot of doctors are doing this on top of their daily, very busy clinics. They'll agree to run a clinical trial and will provide the support that they need, but they need to have time and the resource within their study teams in order to run those trials, because there's a lot of extra work that has to be done. There's a lot of extra documentation and care and attention that, you know, that is part of the process that they have to agree to do.
So where, you know, it sounds like a lot of relationship management is...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a very important part, like being able to liaise with so many people and get so many people to do their job at the right time is a key, it's a very important skill, and project managers have to be very, very good at that.
yeah. So just to, when just might bring in yourself, Baveen, you joined Novartis, I think it's about less than a year ago at this point, and you were on the first intake of this particular graduate program in project management for clinical trials. So how has the year been for you?
Good, yeah. So I started in the graduate program back in December. I started with a lot of kind of background training and stuff and getting up to scratch. And then I've pretty much been kind of hands-on, thrown into the deep end, shadowing trials and getting involved since about January. I found it really good practical experience so far.
And obviously you did an undergrad in science and a master's, I believe, in clinical trial management. Is that correct? So how did the theory, which obviously you do need to know, you need that underpinning. So how did the action and the theory marry up? How did you feel the leap was?
Well, it's always challenging. I think anyone would say you can, you know, read about a clinical trial on paper for a year or so, as I did in the master's, but it's never going to be the same as when you're kind of in action. So I think it helped to kind of have the background knowledge, but definitely just watching other people doing the job and getting involved and kind of just putting yourself out there 100% is the only way to kind of do it. But it's everyone does the transition, it's doable and it's really enjoyable. It's nice to, I guess, be learning in a different kind of way after years and years of sitting in a lecture theatre and listening, which I enjoy, and reading, to actually being thrown out there and have to do tasks and be responsible. It's nice to be learning in that way, I think.
It's a challenge, but the reward is there as well. You know, you get the feedback.
Absolutely.
That, you know, what you do matters. And just for anyone, like, there is so many variety of roles in the pharmaceutical industry, you know, top and tail. It doesn't make any difference. There's so many interesting roles. But Baveen, you know, what attracted you to clinical trials?
Well, I never planned on having a career in clinical trials, I guess, is the first thing I'd say. Like, I had lots of varied interests, say, even in secondary school. I was interested in music and art and science, but I ended up picking one and I did a degree in science. But even in my science degree, I didn't really hear that much about clinical trials. And once I finished my degree, I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew that I enjoyed science, but I didn't really want to do a PhD, so I actually took a year or two out just to kind of work in a few different jobs. I worked in a children's museum for 2 years, and I just kind of tried to do things I enjoyed and kind of think about what I wanted to do. And then after 2 years, I kind of decided I did want to go back into science, but maybe after working with people on a team, like in a museum and being in a kind of a management role, I thought maybe something more people focused would be interesting. So a combination of that, and then I just happened to come across this master's in clinical trials at the right time. It just kind of appealed to me, and I applied for the master's, and then the master's led me into the graduate program in clinical project management.
Oh, that's brilliant, baby. And it's just to encourage people, you don't always know, you just take the next right step for you and trust that, you know, you just keep at it and you will carve it out. Just bringing yourself back in, Mairead, like Baby has shared her own career story with us, which is really useful. What about yourself?
It's funny. Yeah, it definitely is true. You don't know what you want to do, especially when you finish university. I did my degree in Bachelor of Science in Pharmaceutical Management, and I'm a manager in a pharmaceutical company. So, yeah. But I didn't know, obviously, back then that this was going to be a career path for me. But as you go through the clinical trials and pharmaceutical industry, it just goes from step to step. I started out as a CRA, a clinical research associate, and they manage clinical trials, the clinical trials at hospital sites. So that's how I started my career, and then worked through the various stages of CTL, project manager, and now group lead manager. So, I mean, like I say, you don't really know where you're going to end up, but I certainly have always enjoyed my job at working in clinical trials ever since the first day I started. I just really loved it. So I can't imagine working in another area in pharmaceutical industry, but there's so many opportunities. With Novartis and other companies, it's a great area to work in, and I highly recommend it.
And maybe could you speak a little bit more to project management? I suppose we hear it an awful lot. Obviously, there's clear industries that project management has grown out of. Obviously, it grew out of the construction industry. So it's just where, you know, it's kind of a widely accepted skill, no matter what career you end up in. But maybe that you have such core experience in project management. Could you maybe speak a little bit about the project management process?
Sure. I mean, a little bit like what I said before, the main goal is to keep your project on track, regardless of what area you work in, be it in the pharmaceutical industry or the building industry. You've got a project, you've got a budget, you need to keep it on track. And so in project management in the pharmaceutical industry, there are various roles in different parts of the business that require project management skills, and in particular in clinical trials it is really important, as the industry is under a lot of pressure to kind of reduce the timeline of how long it takes for a drug to get to the market. So if project managers are all failing their tasks and delivering studies very late all the time, then it just adds delays to the time when the drug will actually get to the market, which causes major problems for pharmaceutical companies. So it is really important that they understand that the importance of that role is keeping things on track, and they'll always have hurdles and always have challenges that they have to face, but the important part is that they keep everything on track as best they can.
So it's to probably look at these, like from the outside looking in, it could seem like, you know, just a series of managing of problems, but if their mindset is just a series of challenges, and that if you're a person that kind of gets a buzz out of solving problems or thinking a little bit differently, or I wonder if I rang that person, could I persuade them, you know what I mean, to get that in a day earlier to me, or see how they are they on track to completing on time, just check in and see how they're doing, do you know? So it's a lot of it's around the relationship, and I presume you're in this world so much that sometimes we forget on the outside how challenging it is, and we're going to use the positive word challenging, you know, in around, because it is patient safety and human safety and it's paramount. It's the role of regulatory and meeting regulatory frameworks and deadlines and submitting, I presume, you know, at the crucial times, Tell me about that management of those kind of hard side, we'll call it. You know, it's not more soft skills there, it's actually meeting the deadlines and, you know, getting the material to the right standards.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the process, obviously, like you mentioned, you have the challenges, but, you know, you have outputs at the end of, mm-hmm. of study. You have a database with all the data that has to be collected for a clinical trial, and that data is based on the patient's on the studies. They need to make sure that everybody involved in that process, from the hospital sites to the CRAs managing the data at the site, data management, who are taking that data and analysing it, the statisticians, everybody who's the medical leads who are reviewing all the adverse events, everybody who's inputted onto the clinical trial needs to understand their role and how that they need to all work together as a team to meet the needs of the clinical trial and the regulatory authorities. Because at the end of the study, if they don't meet the endpoints of the study and the output of the clinical study report, when they go to do the submissions to regulatory authorities all over the world, that's the key part. If it's rejected, then it causes even more headaches for study teams and obviously for the company itself.
There must be a great sense of satisfaction, though, you know, yes. If it is a success. Now, if something fails, that's a success too. You know, not everything has to go to market. You know, sometimes the success is that it doesn't go to market. You know,
absolutely. Some of the biggest discoveries have been made through failures. So mm-hmm. It's a hugely important part of the industry as well. And actually, Novartis culture is very, very open and transparent about that, like to make sure that people are very clear that, you know, it's okay, it's making mistakes is okay, but you know, the a lot of greatest discoveries are made from experimenting, being creative and understanding the output is still going to be, knowing that you have a result at the end of the day is the key thing.
So what about future developments for Novartis?
Well, future, so we're looking at some great opportunities with Novartis in the future. I'm not sure if you heard recently about the teaming up of Microsoft and Novartis, which is the first time in this has ever happened. The pharmaceutical industry and a big tech company have joined forces. And they're looking at bringing AI, artificial intelligence, into the industry and to see how that can improve the whole process of bringing medicines to the market sooner. So which is very exciting. So for both IT, people with IT backgrounds and also people with medical backgrounds.
That's fascinating, because we've only had a recent episode about the future of work is now with colleagues in DCU, and we've been talking about, you know, AI and how it makes a difference in the medical world. So this is really, really interesting. So I know it's early days yet with how this is actually going to work, but what is the goal of using artificial intelligence here?
Just to make things more efficient, to collect data in a smart way, to make sure that we are using data correctly. A lot of data has been collected now in trials with the technology that's available, people with wearables and things like that. So we're able to understand a lot more what's happening with the patients using technology. So it's really important that we know how to manage that data correctly and to improve the process. Make things more easier for the patients as well. In years ago, there would have been like nothing like this, and the only information you get from the patients when they go to the hospital site and they do some blood samples and some tests. Whereas now, you have all this technology; they can see what's happening from their wearables, and they can collect all that data and understand a lot more about what's happening to the patient outside of the clinics.
So, when we talk about wearables, we're usually in layman's terms, we're talking about Fitbits you know, maybe something to, I'm sure there's probably things to blood pressure or temperature control things now, is there? Or there's probably a wide range within the wearables.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And if something is designed for a specific trial, they might have even more things that they are specific for that disease area. but even just the normal wearables that you have, like it can collect your blood pressure, it can tell like how, you know, how much exercise you're doing, for diabetes patients and things like that. So it's really useful to have that information, and to use it correctly is really important.
And I suppose that, you know, one of the whole things in around is about the FSH, about when you take your drugs as well, you know, around the circadian rhythm, and you know, is there a particular day or part of the day or part of the night?
Or if they're not taking it, so they have to come back and tell the doctor that they've taken the medication. And like if they're, you know, sometimes they're forgetting to take the medication and things, you know, and you can see them, you know, the results from wearables and things that they can collect data on heart rate and things like that wouldn't be able to see before.
That's really fascinating. So that'll be kind of it's a super big project, and you know, with many things, even if it improves the current trials, or, you know, re-engagement with existing drugs and things like that, there's so many things that can be improved on. Even if it shortens the clinical trial by 6 months, that could be a huge win for so many people.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the key. That's key to the success in the future.
Brilliant. Okay, just when you talk about Novartis on a global level, you know, where's the big key research centres, or, you know, where's the key parts of the world that Novartis are in?
Sure, the head office is actually in Basel in Switzerland, but they have offices all over the world. We in Dublin have just about 600 or 700 people in our office in Dublin.
Wow.
It's a big office in Bitterstown. We work very closely with 5 other NGSCs, so Novartis Global Service Centres, so Mexico, Prague, Kuala Lumpur, Hyderabad, and Kuala Lumpur, Mexico, and Basel. So we work very closely with all of those offices, particularly for managing our studies. But we run studies all over the world.
And just bearing in mind that we're recording this and during COVID-19, and obviously we're kind of coming out of our phases, thankfully, which is fantastic, that we're coming out of lockdown as we record this. So it's fantastic. And our cocooners are out and about and stuff.
Exactly.
You know, it's great. It's great. It's great to be looking forward again. But just your own experience, that you're always a global team. Before this all kicked off, how have you even found it, you know, working more online, and, you know, or, you know, how's this whole situation, you know, has it kind of the dynamic improved, shifted? Tell me your story of online working, because I think everyone has one now at this stage.
We would have been really flexible anyway as a company working from home, but obviously now everybody's working from home, so the IT department obviously had some massive headaches in the beginning, but I think everything's kind of ironed out a little bit now. It's gotten a bit more relaxed, and people are understanding this is going to be the norm for some time. So we've invested in our home offices, and it seems to be a lot more settled. But we would have been used to, you know, working from home from time to time. So it wasn't like it was unheard of for people to, you know, a lot of people. And we also have some people who are permanently home based. It's more, I say, the travel side of things that we would have had people traveling a lot more, and now there's no, all our travel has been cancelled. And so, I mean, that's had a huge impact on teams, but also we've just had to use technology to improve how we communicate together. So we're using video calls, MS Teams all the time, and it seems to be working fine.
And Bavine, you know, you can probably empathise with our, you know, our students that are currently, you know, studying online, and that's not what they, you know, signed up to do. And, you know, they went for the campus experience, and now they're, you know, some of our students will be finishing up now, and they'll be embarking hopefully into the workplace and searching and all the job search, and maybe going into a very different workplace. How have you found, you know, that you were very, very recently, you know, started in Novartis, you'd hardly had a wet day, and you were out working online. So how are you finding it?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a new experience for me. As you said, I was only a few months into the job when we had to work from home. But as Maria said, it really helped that the job definitely for us and our team was already kind of set up well to be done virtually, because a lot of our teams would be international. A lot of our calls would already be through Microsoft Teams meetings and stuff. But yeah, I think it's been new for everyone on the team as well, like this level of working virtually. So I think just everyone kind of finding new ways, especially I think trying to learn how to be better socially virtually, you know, reaching out to people more. We've more kind of social meetings to check in on people and to make sure we're all interacting well. But I think
are you having tea break video calls?
Yeah, we have our virtual coffees. Yeah,
yeah, we are too. They're a lifesaver. They're a real sanity check, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
What advice would you have, Baveen? Because you know, you're not long out of the college system. I know you worked for a couple of years, but you would have that kind of resonance, you know, with people that are just about to embark out from their degrees or masters or whatever, PhDs, whatever their stage of university life are. What would be your top tip, you know, to embrace this, you know, changed culture of maybe some office work or some working on site, some working online, or maybe all online, and settling yourself into a new organisation with all of that going on?
Well, I'd say what you said, just embrace it. You know, it's going to be a new experience regardless of whether it's in the office or whether it's virtual. So I'd say just embrace the challenge and try and learn from it either way. And just if it's challenging, which it will be for anyone, just to reach out and try and get as much assistance as you can.
I presume, Mairead, from your point of view or any organisation's point of view, settling in new employees and things like that, like having buddies or mentors and things like that, could be coaches, could be very useful.
Exactly. Well, we would have that in place anyway. But I think additional support, we're going to have to be a lot more creative how we build this remote opportunity into the graduate program for 2020, making sure that there's regular check-ins until they get to a certain point, and the support of their buddies and mentors and fellow colleagues that normally they would have been able to just walk up to their desk and ask them a question, but just make sure that they have that support already available. It's just that it's built into the program. It's really important.
You probably have to do what the rest of the country is doing, is having an online quizzes or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The quizzes have never been so popular, but anyway, we all have to do whatever we need to do to kind of get on with things as well, don't we, you know. And whatever works, and if a quiz does it for people, it would not do it for me, because I'm one of these people that I'll have the answer 24 hours later. I'll have to let it all drift on down, you know, and I'll have the answer way later. I'd never be on the winning quiz team anyway, a more reflective person. Okay, listen, I've really enjoyed talking with you, and as I said in the beginning, we had our own clinical trial with this podcast. It didn't work out the first time, and you were both so gracious to come back online. And obviously with remote working, we have a podcast machine that I can dial you in, one by a Bluetooth, one by a phone line, so we're all adapting to technology, and sure, you know, we're getting on with it, you know. With not about perfection, it's about getting it to good enough, you know. So it's been an absolute pleasure, and the best of luck with your career, Baveen, you know, as you start off, and obviously continue good success to yourself, Mairead, and really enjoyed having the chat with you.
Thank you, Siobhan. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Siobhan. It was great. Thank you.